All right, so the first one, if you'd all stand up, we'll put on some music. Now, let me say this while you're all standing. We're going to do some movement here in just a few moments. Now, this comes from educational kinesiology. This is about being able to actually pass information in through your brain in different ways. When you do these exercises, what you're literally doing is making neurological connections inside your body and inside your brain to transfer the learnings that you have, to wire them in, to make them part of your own behavior. It's one of the things that you can do that will add dramatically to your overall well-being and your ability to learn and acquire skills. Now, I used to do this when I went back to school as an adult in the 80s, and I used to do some cross-crawling even on my way to classes when I was taking a test. What I would do is I would study the material, and then I would wire it into my body. The other thing that this is really good for is the ability to reduce stress. Now, it is not a calisthenic exercise, although you could certainly make it such. The portion of the exercise that's important for you to understand is that you are going to be making connections with the different parts of your body. For example, the brain has two hemispheres, right and left. The left side of the brain runs the right side of the body, and the right side of the brain runs the left side of the body, for the most part. This is called contralateral. There is what's also known as ipsilateral, meaning the same side of the brain runs portions of the same side of the body. What we are interested in doing is literally sending information across the corpus callosum, which is a thick bundle of nerves that connects the hemispheres, so that the whole brain gets activated, not only from side to side, but front to back and from top to bottom, because there are actually three portions of your brain. There's what's known as the reptilian brain, which is the oldest part of your brain, which has lots of information like fight or flight in it that comes from prehistoric times. There's the midbrain, which contains the limbic system, the hypothalamus, the amygdala, which has to do with emotions and how we relate and connect to other people. It is probably the seat of our emotions. And what we endeavor to do as communicators, the people who've had midbrain damage, by the way, are the ones who usually end up being kind of classified as sociopathic. They don't care. They don't connect. They're not able to bond. It may not have been an injury. It may just be undernourished, underdeveloped brain, whatever, inside their neurology. So this is a way of also passing information through that area. And then the thinking cap is the most recent portion of the brain to evolve. It's the neocortex, which allows us to speak and do the kinds of things that we do in terms of making decisions and stuff like that. So there's the three brains. We want to pass the information and the skills and the talents and the learning that we are acquiring throughout the whole brain. This is part of whole brain learning methodology. That means that in order to really be able to acquire, even if it's information, like I said, when I went back to school, the thing that I did was that I would read, I would study my test, and then I would do cross-crawling. Then I go back and read a little bit more and do some cross-crawling, read and cross-crawl. Now, I'm happy to say I was pretty much a straight-A student. Not because I'm smart, but because I knew how to use my brain better. So the first thing that you're going to do is this. You take your right leg, and bring your hand to your knee. And then you take your right hand and left knee. In other words, you just cross over and make a connection. Now, yeah, it's very simple. The key is to actually make the touch. Okay, that's what sends the information back and forth. Now, when children are developing, my daughter is not yet there. She's almost crawling. She kind of scuffles along and does it. Part of the most important developmental stage of a child's life is to not walk too quickly, but to actually spend time crawling, because that's when you're wiring in all the important stuff to go back and forth between the hemispheres. This is an opportunity for us as adults to continue to rejuvenate that childlike brain again. Now, I will show you some other movements. I'm going to move to the front of the platform. We're going to put on some music. Now, the best way to utilize this is always to have something in mind. For example, I like to use it with a question like, you know, how much delight can I discover as I move through the world adding in new skills? Or how many different ways can I find to communicate more effectively with people? In other words, I have some question that I like to address inside my own mind or in my own brain. And then I cross-crawl and I let my brain take care of it. So it's kind of like posing a conscious question and then giving it over to your unconscious mind to find the answers. Now, this is great for troubleshooting, by the way. If you are ever, you ever got a situation arise in your workplace or in your home life or something, you don't know the answer, you go, how quickly can I find a solution to this? Go do some cross-crawling. Because when you pose the question and then cross-crawl, you're transferring that information throughout the whole brain. So I'm going to step up here. We're going to put some music on. And I will shoot, just follow me. Now, just a couple things to consider. One is only you will discover the benefits as you do this on a regular basis. Okay? You will discover the benefits if you'll do this on a regular basis. Second thing is, if any of those movements were difficult for you, it should tell you something about yourself. In other words, what it means is that either, one, you haven't exercised in a while and you're not very flexible. Yes. If you're out of breath. Yes. And perhaps you could use some more exercise. Yes. Go for a walk 20 minutes every day. That might help. But the other thing is this. If any of these movements are tough, realize that it's probable that you haven't done them this way before. Which means, if you think about it by analogy, whenever you're learning anything new, it may not go exactly the way you want it to. In other words, it may be a little bit tough. It may be a little bit rough. It may be difficult to do the first time. If you're not able to go like this, you know, as fast as you'd like to, guess what? If you practice it, you certainly will be. Okay, the first time you try something, it may be tough. Same thing with 3 times later or 12 times later. But if you hang in there, you'll be able to do it. So as a metaphor for learning, it's actually something to keep in mind. And that is the same thing with being more influential or more persuasive. You'll go out, you'll communicate with people, and sometimes, boom, you're going to have a great win. You're going to feel really great. The next day, it may not be so powerful. You may feel like you didn't do quite right. But if you hang in there and you continue to practice and you continue to apply what you're learning, you'll be able to do a whole lot more quicker and faster. Also, if you sit here and go, I am a stupid mother. I can't do this. I'll never be able to. You're never going to be able to get very good at it. You need to cut yourself some slack. If you do something wrong, if you make a mistake, you go, you know what? I did the best with the cards I was dealt. That's just the way it goes. I am not the God of the universe, although I might like to think I am. And hey, go on. If you do a really good job, you give yourself a pat on the back and go, really good job. If you acknowledge and nurture yourself along, whatever you do, you will get to where you want to be faster. Think about it. You're driving down the road. You want to come to Milwaukee. Every 5 miles, you go, crap, and you pull off the road and you insult yourself for 15 minutes because you didn't do something the way you thought you would or it didn't work out. It's going to take you a whole lot longer time to get here. Is that how you got here? I'm sorry if I'm describing an accurate situation. But you understand what I'm saying. In other words, you know, if you berate yourself, you're not going to get there as quickly as if you go, you know what? Hey, I screwed up, okay? I'm sorry. Pat yourself on the back and move forward. Now, the other thing is this, is if you learn to pose questions to yourself. In other words, if you go, gee, I screwed up. What did I do wrong? How come nothing ever works out for me? Why am I such an idiot? Guess what your brain does? It goes, I'll be happy to give you the answers. Because the one thing that I discovered is, how many of you have ever tried affirmations only to discover that they don't work?
Yes.
Yes.
Hell yes.
Yeah, they don't work real. All right, here's the principle. Here's an important principle and something that we'll practice while we're here. It's also important in communicating with other people. The reason why affirmations don't work for most people is because you set up resistance from the word go. You go, think of this one. You look in the mirror, you go, I am my ideal weight. And the mirror goes, yeah, right, in a pig's eye you are. Every day and every way I'm getting better and better. And the mirror goes, ha, 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 ha. Why? Because you're coming at it saying, I am this way, and a portion of you knows that you aren't. I am now the man I've always wanted to be. I'm now the woman I've always wanted to be. No, you're not. Okay, and your brain says, well, I call it a brain cramp. And it's like, it just goes, sorry, won't do. And people have tried this all along. I am confident. When inside they're not confident. You don't want to set up resistance, just like you don't want to walk up to somebody on the street and do the very same thing. You don't want to create this kind of locking horns or butting heads with the people who you want to communicate. You'd rather, think about it this way, to get somebody to do something, if you're nice to them, if you do something nice for them, if you seduce them, not literally, but you seduce them with going with kindness, they're more apt to do what you would like to do because they want to do it. If you go, hey, you need this, do it now. Buy my vitamins. You look like you could use vitamins. I want you to buy these. They'll make you healthy. They'll make you strong. Think of it this way. If I go, want to buy my... Here, I don't have one. Think about this. I go, want to buy my pen?
No.
No, he doesn't want to buy my pen. Think about that. Why? I posed a question. I go, do you want to buy my pen? He goes, no. If I go, Terry, do you know how absolutely delighted you'll be when you buy my pen?
Not yet.
Not yet. What's going on here? What did he answer no to? He doesn't know yet how delighted he will be. Hasn't said he wanted to buy it or not buy it, but I've sidestepped it by saying, "Are you delighted? Do you know how delighted you'll be when you buy my pen? All right, give it a try." In other words, I'm not confronting him with, do you want this or not? Are you this or not? I'm saying, do you realize how thrilled you're going to be when you try this out? Or how it's going to add to your life when you do these things? He doesn't know the answer to that. If he goes, no, tell me more, I've opened the doorway to be able to tell him. If he goes, sure, I'll be delighted when I buy your pen, well then probably the sale is made. What I've done now is I've used a little bit of mental Aikido. I'm sidestepping, instead of going, buy this, do you want to buy this? I'm trying to find something that will allow a door to be opened where he could begin to consider what it is that I have to offer him. I want to be able to open that doorway where I could either tell him more or let him demonstrate or whatever. And that's in a sales situation. Well, same thing is true about our brains. Think about that. You go, I am this. Your brain goes, no, you're not. But if you go, I wonder how soon before I am this, your brain goes, I don't know. Because the one thing that your brain is designed to do, technically it's designed to do two things. One is keep you alive at all costs. It's a survival mode. And two, to seek out questions and or answer questions. As a matter of fact, your brain responds mostly to questions. If I go, you know, the world is X, you either go, I wonder if that's true. Or I wonder if that's bull. The one thing you do more of than anything else is ask questions. Now, you may not ask them out loud to other people, but you ask questions. And that's why if you go, God, how come I'm such an idiot? Your brain will go, hey, you know what? I'm designed to answer that question. That's the only thing I'm really truly designed to do. I'll keep you alive and I'll answer that question. You're an idiot because when you were a child, you put your head in a toaster. Your parents didn't give you the right education. You flunked out of high school gym. And blah, 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 blah. It goes on answering question after question after question. When you put your brain on a search, it goes searching. In neurolinguistic programming or in hypnosis, we call it trans-derivational search. In other words, you go, what'd you do on your 16th birthday? You may or may not know that answer yet. But if you ask the question of yourself, you went on some search. The other one, my 16th birthday. Jeez, I don't know what happened to my 16th birthday. If I say, what did you have for lunch yesterday? It might be a little closer. You might be able to find it. The power of being able to make change for yourself is the power to learn questions. This is the thing that dawned on me back in the early 80s. Everybody was giving hypnotic suggestions to everybody. NLP, all this stuff was going, and you could go into a deep trance, and I'm wondering how soon you could go. And the thing that I couldn't figure out is how did they miss the fact that if you could ask another question, if you could ask another person, like, I'm wondering how quickly you'll discover yourself going into a deep trance now before you do this. How come nobody ever said, what if I asked myself that question? I wonder how quickly before I discover myself relaxing and feeling absolutely wonderful. I wonder how soon before I realize that learning can be fun. I don't know what the answer is. But the brain goes, okay, well, let's go on a search. Let's find out. And that's what you want to do. You want to open up that doorway for your brain to search for things. And remember, what you focus on, you get. So the quality of questions you ask yourself determine the quality of life you have. If you go, why am I such an idiot? How come nothing ever works out for me? How come those people don't do anything? How come the government's screwed up? How come this happens? How come that happens? That's what you keep finding, and that's part of that belief system or that belief filter that says believing is seeing. If you go, in how many different ways can I begin to find the ways in which I'm truly delighted, the ways in which I'm an absolutely talented and incredible person? And even though I don't feel totally confident in this moment, I'm wondering how soon before I can begin to feel a little bit more secure, a little bit more confident, and begin to interact with other people in ways that are powerful and positive. I don't know what the answer to that is, but my brain is willing to go find out. And as long as it's an open-ended question, not how soon tomorrow will I find this out? See, because if I go, what's the capital of Arizona, and you don't know, your brain will go, I don't know, and that will be the answer you get. But if you ask a question like, how quickly can I discover how truly talented I am, and how many different ways? Now, we're going to do a lot of stuff with being able to phrase these questions, but the key is to begin, if you want to qualitatively transform the quality of your life, if you want to really begin to make life juicy for yourself, and you really want to begin to make your interacting with other people an incredible experience, the power of questions that you use is what's going to determine that. If you go, hey, man, how does life suck for you today? You got to realize that every single second you are directing a mind. Where'd you get your shirt, Marge?
Chicago.
In Chicago. All right. I directed her mind to her shirt. She looks and goes, but I also directed your minds to her shirt. Or to the question. You cannot not direct a mind. The question is where are you directing it? You are either getting closer to what you want or further away from what you want by the very words you say and how you say them to people. So learning how to artfully phrase things so that it's easy for them to understand, so that they naturally want to do what it is you're suggesting, is important. You never listen to me. How come you never listen to me? How come you never do what I say? How come you don't pay attention to me? How come you don't love me the way you should? How come... Think about that. Those are the kinds of messages that a lot of people send each other. You never listen to me. How come you never listen to me? Think about it this way. Never listen to me. If nothing else were said, never listen to me. How about this one? I don't want you to worry. I don't want you to worry. Want you to worry. Want you to worry. Or this, let's cut off the last half and go, I don't want you. Whoa. I don't want you to be upset. I'm upset because you don't want me. I mean, in other words, think about the language we're saying and then learn to say it. I want to be able to share something with you in a relaxed and comfortable way. And I'd like you to pay attention to me while I talk with you. Will you listen to me?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, in other words, the one thing about most people is this. 70% is what the statistic says. Get this. 70% of salespeople never ask for the sale. Hey, I got this great pen. Got all these wonderful things. Hey, it's got all these features. Thank you very much for letting me show it to you. They don't ask, you want to buy my pen. Now, that may not be the best way to do it, but you go, how delighted will you be? You know how delighted you're going to be when you buy my pen? Okay. They still have to ask for the sale. Same thing is true in relationships. Bring me some water. They didn't ask. They just made a statement with the implied promise that they would be deliriously happy if they got the water. And then generally what happens is they go, great, take the water, do their thing. The other person's not acknowledged, not validated, and what? Hence, they don't feel like doing things for them anymore. Asking. Asking. But ask of yourself as well. Expect the very best, ask the very best, fill your mind with the very best, focus on the positive, and what you focus on is what you get. Because that's what the brain is designed to do. The problem with most people is not the fact that they have problems, but of where they direct their minds. The problem with most people, in terms of communication or influence, is not the fact that they have problems, but that they don't realize how they're directing another person's mind or what they're directing another person's mind to pay attention to.
You have just completed this audio session. The next track will automatically begin in a few seconds.